Hurkun oku trap sons trap sons trap sons trap sons trap don't sons trap don't sons trap Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа Дадаж дуулан дур булаа бууруулаа
What's up, people? Adam Hunter here, coming with a brand new podcast. We got Johnny Case on. The guy's a UFC vet, RFA vet, and now undefeated in Ryzen, as well as a PFL vet. The guy's been around, great fighter, kicking ass over in Ryzen. Can't wait to talk to him, and you're getting it because you endorsed me on Rockfin, R-O-K-F-I-N, / Adam Hunter. Make sure you tell everyone about Rockfin, putting all kinds of content, all kinds of videos, all kinds of comedy, kamikaze comedy, everything. All my MMA roasted videos, it's all on Rockfin. Check it out. Let's talk to Johnny Case right now.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing well, brother. Just leaving sparring.
Nice, man. Are you in Vegas now, or are you still in Arizona? What's going on?
No, I'm in Vegas. I'm in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Nice. The last time I saw you, you were at the lab in Arizona, and I went to your hard sparring thing, and you go hard sparring. You don't take it easy.
I try to go as you know, as hard as I need to be without throwing bombs, you know, without trying to knock someone out, you know, to try to keep the speed up and the power down.
I think I was watching you spar Ben Henderson, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
There's always. I've had some fucking epic wars in the gym with him.
Oh, my God. Now, I heard that you moved to Vegas because you fell in love with Emily Whitmire, and you packed up, and you want to be near her, and that's why you moved to Vegas. Is that true?
Yeah, more. I mean, not the only reason. So I just got cut from the UFC, and then I met Emily, and so I wasn't able to really get any fights, and Emily trains at Extreme Couture, where Ray Sefo trains. And if you don't know Ray Sefo, he's the president of the Professional Fighters League, the PFL.
Right.
So then I ended up getting signed through Emily. I ended up getting signed to the PFL. She got my name to Ray, and I got signed to the PFL, and I just thought it made more sense being that Ray trains at that gym, Emily's at that gym. I just feel like it was a better fit to come to Las Vegas. And she wasn't ready to leave her gym, and you know, I just, yeah, more or less wanted to be with her, and it seemed like the right career move as well, so.
Oh, that is, Emily Whitmire must have some powerful vagina to get you.
Oh,
the fact
brother,
that you got up there.
Let me tell you about it, brother.
Good for you. Good for
Hell
you.
Hell yeah.
Now you went 4-2 in the UFC, beat a bunch of studs, you lost to Jake Matthews in Fight of the Night, then you lost to a guy who's, you know, a top five guy right now, Rocco. That was a tough fight. Why did you get cut? That was bullshit. Why did you get cut?
Well, it turned out it wasn't, I mean, it was more of a political business move. It turned out like the guy that was managing me at the time, didn't really have a very good relationship with Sean Shelby. And rather than to deal with him and therefore me, they just figured it was easier to just cut me, and that way they wouldn't have to deal with him any longer. So kind of a business, I mean, kind of a fucking, it's a business move when you go down to it, you know. It's kind of personal, but more or less boils down to business. They didn't want to do business with him anymore, and I was kind of collateral damage, so.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it definitely made me bitter towards the UFC for a little bit. But, you know, because I was cut, and they didn't fucking tell me why. They're just like, you just had, you know, your two losses, like your contract's up. And I knew that was a lie because I had three fights left in my contract. And it's like, oh, you know, you had two losses. Just stay ready, and then we'll try to get you a last-minute fight. And you can have your, you know, because normally the three strikes, you're out at the UFC. You lose three times in a row or three out of the four, then they don't really cut you usually, you know. And so they kind of just strung me along, like, oh, just stay ready, we'll get you another one. Stay ready, we'll get you another one. And how I found out I got cut from the UFC is I was at the fucking PI getting a massage, and the fucking doorman came in and was like, hey, man, what are you doing here? I was like, you know, I'm getting a massage. He's like, well, you're not on the roster.
Oh.
I was like, what the fuck do you mean I'm not on the roster? I'm 4-2 in the UFC right now. He's like, well, we just cut somebody who's 5-1. I'm like, oh, man, they let doormen make executive decisions now, huh?
Like, yeah, who's we?
That's what I said, like the royal we doorman. But yeah, so that's kind of how I found out I fucking got kicked out of the UFC. So, to needless to say, I was a little bit bitter towards them. But, you know, it all comes full circle. And then I ended up finding out later why I was cut. You know, it made total sense. Like, I get it. You know, it's kind of a, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, but that's just a fighter. Did you at least get a happy ending from the massage or no?
No, fuck no. No, not at all. It was a real fuck. And, dude, and get this, to make it all worse, it was on Emily's birthday, bro. I was in a real sour mood, you know. I felt terrible because it was a birthday. I was trying to make it extra special, and I was just a bump on a log. So,
well, and you're a guy, I mean, you won 12 fights in a row at one point before you went, well, lost those two. 12 in a row,
yeah.
And that Jake Matthews fight could have went your way. He just got caught in the third.
Agreed, yep.
That was
100%. I mean, that was my fault. That was I lost. You know what I mean? Like, I made a mistake. Jake's a fucking high-level fighter, and he capitalized. You know what I mean? That's a fight. Like, all of my losses, except for one, was because I made a mistake and the fighter capitalized. The only one that truly beat me in a fucking tactical fight was Tony Martin, Rocco. He fucking tactically beat me. I mean, like, I fight that fight 10 out of 10, or, you know, 10 out of 10 times. I think he wins 9 out of 10 times just with the tactics that he had, that takedown in the third, and that. He latched onto that Kimura, so.
But listen, man, you know what I like about you, man? You're a humble guy. You're a good guy. But you're also a guy, you started off your career 0-2, and then you went on a blitz. So you're a guy that, you're one of those guys. You don't, a lot of guys would have packed it in. They would have said, you know what, I'm done. I got cut by the UFC. I made it as far as I did. You're like, fuck that. You fight in some weird promotion. It was like Ice Cube fighting or something.
Dude, that was the thing, too. So nobody tells you when you get cut from the – first of all, when you win 4 fights in a row in the UFC and then you get cut, nobody's going to fucking fight you. Nobody – like, getting fights, dude, is like good fucking luck. You're going to have to fight guys who are like, you know, 10-0 in their hometown, you know, fighting like a weight class up, like, and you're fighting for like fucking $500, like – nobody, unless you get picked up by a bigger promotion, nobody wants to fucking fight you. Like, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. You're too risky of a fight. You know what I mean? If someone's coming up on the way trying to get to the UFC, they don't want to fucking risk losing to you because you just got cut from the UFC. You know what I mean? If you couldn't hack it in the UFC, then, you know, then they obviously are not going to belong in the UFC if they don't beat me. So, you know, on the other way too, it's just fucking, you're fighting guys who are fucking studs and should be a fucking good, like in the UFC, should be getting fucking paid worth it, you know, and then you ended up actually having to spend your own money just to pay for fight camp to get ready for the fight. So it's a real shit to be in.
Gary's Ice Cream Truck Promotions or something. Then you like won 2 of those fights. Then you get into the PFL. You fight Nathan Schultz in a fight that was weird. It was like a draw. It was like he won the first, you won the second, but because he won the first, he won, right?
Correct. Yeah. And again, like that whole tournament, you know, that format, it just, I don't understand. They said they want fights, but in reality, that format, all it does is promote lay and play kind of fights. I mean, he won the first round, but all he did was take me down and kind of just lay on me and try to control me, you know, and me, I'm kind of a slower starter of a fighter anyway. So I just kind of, you know, maybe wasted too much time off my back. And then I finally got going in the second round. I feel, you know, I clipped him some good times. And then by then the fight was over, you know. And then it came down
crazy.
To...
crazy. And it goes out and wins $1 million.
Yeah. Whoever wins the fucking first round, that's it.
Now, why did you not stay in the PFL, though, the next year?
So that was my plan originally. So obviously the PFL is where I want to be. Like, they fucking treat you awesome. The money's right. You know, it's in the United States. They got a good TV deal on ESPN. Like, that was the goal, to stay with them. But the season, the payoff of the season was so long. You know what I mean? It was New Year's Eve, and it wouldn't start up again until...
March. And then they go, then you have, like, the summer, and then there's, like, September, October off or something. It is weird. Okay, so the PFL, it was too much time off for you?
Yeah, it was too much time off, so I was trying to just get another fight, you know, in between seasons, and I ended up fighting Horizon, and ended up fighting Yachi, who was kind of their the guy that they were kind of building up. You know, I think they brought me in to kind of be a loss or to be another win for him. I ended up beating him, and they offered me a fight spot for their 8-man Grand Prix tournament. So, that's kind of a, I just kind of went there for a fight and I was presented an opportunity I couldn't really say no to.
Yeah, what was that like? I mean, the whole Japan experience.
Oh, I love Japan, man. My UFCW is actually in Tokyo at Saitama Arena. So, going back over there, I kind of had already a little bit of a fan base, just to have the opportunity where I could go fight old pride rules, with soccer kicks on the ground and stomps and knees to the head, fight in the ring, it was just kind of like another bucket list, everybody always wants to fight in pride, wants to fight in Japan. So it was kind of an opportunity where I was like, hell yeah, why not? But, it was an opportunity I couldn't really pass up. And, I went over there, won a fight there and, beat one of their top guys and just decided, I think I'm going to collect a belt while I'm over here.
Well, your last fight, I mean, you were hitting that guy so many times. He kept going for a heel hook. You were just pounding him, and the guy didn't even get up. And then the ref didn't see it. It looked like it was one of those, WWE things where the ref doesn't see the guy pass out or something, or, fake pin.
Totally.
It was crazy.
Dude, it was crazy. I remember three different times in that fight. I remember after I hit him, I probably hit him with 30 elbows at a time, and I was thinking, man, why is this guy's head not split open? And then I hit him a couple more times, and I was like, man, why is this guy not unconscious? And then I hit him a couple more times, and I'm like, why the fuck did the referee not stop this fight? And I was just like, all right, I guess I just got to keep working him over, kudos to him. He's a freaking warrior, tough as shit, but that referee really, I think they need to rethink letting that referee in more fights, he took 121 significant head strikes. And he didn't land one strike the entire fight. So
now you're undefeated against Asian people. You've never lost an Asian guy. Did they pick on you or something as a kid? Did they not tutor you? Did they fuck up the curve in math class? Why is it against Asian people you really turn it up?
I don't know. That's a good question, man. Yeah, I'm 3-0 in Japan. All the three stoppages, all within the first and second round. So, dude, I don't know. I just have luck over there.
I mean, when you go in for Chinese food, do they boo you and stuff?
No, man. I'm actually kind of a draw over there, man. I've got a lot of fans, a lot of Japanese fans, and everybody always tells me how exciting I am and how much they enjoy watching fights. So I think it's I feel comfortable over there. I just fucking turn it on wherever I'm at, man. That's all it is.
Now, your girlfriend, Emily Whitmire, is a feisty one. I remember she cursed out Vinny Magalish after one of her fights, which is one of the funniest things ever. And you're an easygoing guy, but you're also kind of a rebel spirit. Is it crazy, passionate sex followed by fights, what's going on over there?
Definitely. She's an awesome girl, just fucking, I really kind of lucked out, finding such a spitfire, not to kind of play off a nickname, but definitely she's a little hippie girl, but she's got a wild side too, just fucking crazy about it, and she's crazy about me. And
so you think this is the one?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, definitely the one that I want to be with. I don't foresee that changing anytime soon. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see how it plays out. See if she doesn't get too tired of me anymore.
Nah, dude, nah. Wait, man, I've heard stories about women that literally get into fist fights over you. So, I don't know what you're doing to these women, but you're doing it right, man. That Iowa farm boy stuff. Now, at one point, you bought a promotion. You still have that promotion?
No, so actually, I bought that promotion in Iowa. And kind of fucking inherited a bunch of fucking just negative fucking business, So the last guy, there was a deal with the previous owner's partner was embezzling a bunch of money, right? Not only was he embezzling money, he wasn't paying the taxes. That's a whole IRS thing there. Well, it turns out, and then since I bought the promotion, the athletic commission of the state of Iowa was just fucking making it impossible for me to get my license. They kept making me, I had to fly back to Iowa two different times while I was in fight camp. I was in UFC. They made me fly back and have face-to-face meetings with the state commission before they would even allow me to get my license, which is so unheard of. You know, anybody actually wants to apply for a promoter's license, it's just easy form, fill out a form to mail it to you. It's not a big deal. And then, so you ended up fast forwarding this, they ended up suspending me and saying that I was more or less just not being ethical with what I was doing. And I had not done anything wrong. My uncle, who is a very successful amateur promoter, was my partner. I mean, he's the chief of police, one of the most, you know, respected, upstanding guys you could have as a partner. You know, we never did anything unethical whatsoever. We always did everything by the book. Well, then we fast forward, now those guys that are in the commission, two out of three of those political leaders are now resigning for for whatever issues they are. You know, it's not very public, it's not public record yet, but I'm assuming, you know, me drawing my own conclusions, I'm assuming they kind of knew that guy, the previous partner, was embezzling money and wasn't paying his taxes, and maybe they were kind of doing their own shady shit, and, you know, I was very, to the book and doing everything, you know, the legal way, and I don't know if that was an issue for them or what the situation was, but more or less, it was a fucking headache from the time I bought it, man. It was just me jumping through hoops and trying to do everything I could to just get back to the sport that fucking helped me out so much in my life, and it was just fighting me every step of the way, you know. And the thing about state commissions and political leaders is they play by rules that you can't fucking compete with, you know what I mean? So it's kind of just like a situation where I kind of had to just fucking take it on the chin and go my own separate ways, you know.
Well, you were also a venture capitalist at one point?
I was kind of dabbling a little bit, but definitely not. anything to brag about.
Because I have some projects that need some capital. So I was going to say.
Do you? Yeah, well, I'm not handing out capital anytime soon.
Oh, okay. All right, fine. I got it. So when's your next fight?
My next fight is October 12th. That'll be the first round of the Grand Prix tournament for Ryzen.
And then if you win this tournament, which I think you're going to win, I think it's your time. I know you're going to win. I just think you just can't leave it to the judges. The only thing I can see is them fucking you on some kind of decision, because you get fucked a lot on decisions. But
Sure. Other
than that, I think because every one of your losses, like you said, you've had how many, like 30-something fights, and every one of your losses, except for the Jake Matthews one, you could have won that. You know, it's just like even that one you could have won. It's like you're right there. I hope they don't fuck you in Japan. But if you win this tournament, how much money do you get?
It hasn't been disclosed exactly how much money I get, but I know it'll be, six figures for sure. So.
Wow, look at that! Then you could buy like a house in Vegas. You could propose to Emily. You could, it'll be great, man. Look at you!
He's right off into the sunset.
Yeah, dude, you guys have a bunch of, you know, kids that like are all like wrestlers, mini wrestlers. And by the way, you started wrestling at 3 years old. You placed in the States in Iowa, right?
I did. So I was AAU. I placed in the state tournament when I was a little kid. But by the time I got to high school, I was kind of more into partying and girls. And I was good. I was skilled, but I just wasn't very focused. And, you know, that wrestling season in Iowa is long and cold and hungry, you know. And usually by the time spring came around, I was pretty well...
My cousin told me there are two ways to get paid in life. There's money and there's pussy. So, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
But did you think about, were you good enough to wrestle in college? Could you have gotten a D1 offer or D2, D3?
I actually had a couple offers by Grandview Wrestling. You know, Grant Turner, he's the coach there. So it's a little JUCO school in Iowa Central in Fort Dodge as well. They're both two little JUCO schools. I think Grandview has to be D3. I'm not sure exactly. I thought about it. I thought about going to school, but then I realized, like, man, I don't want to fucking go to school. You know, I want to party. I want to fucking go out and have fun. And, you know, and then I found fighting when it was like, oh, man, like, I was only 18. Like, most of these fights were at bars. You know, I figured out real quick, like, you know, if I signed up to fight at 18, I could stay and get drunk with my friends, you know, afterwards, you know. It was like, yeah, I already in, I had a fighter wristband. You know, hence why I also lost my first two professional fights. You know, I wasn't really in the sport for the whole right reasons, you know. And when
against somebody really good. Who's your second fight was against a stud? I used to watch him on Strikeforce. Who's your second fight?
His name is Marcus Levesque. He was 15-0 at the time. He was actually an undefeated Division III collegiate wrestler.
I remember that guy. He got knocked out by McGregor, right? By Connor?
No, he didn't fight McGregor. He fought Khabib. He fought Carlos Pereira. He fought Cody McKenzie. He fought.
I remember that guy. That guy was a stud. He was your second fight. Terrible management back then.
I had no manager. So what happened was I fought an amateur fight in Iowa that Friday night. And the promoter was from Minnesota, and he was like, "Hey, man, there's a fight tomorrow. This Mark Sylvester kid needs a fight. I'll pay you $1,500 to come up and fight this kid." You know, and I was – so back then, it was Iowa wasn't commissioned, so I could fight amateur fights in Iowa. But Minnesota was. So I could go up to Minnesota and have a pro fight and then come back to Iowa and have an amateur fight. So I was kind of able to, like, guide and build my career that way. You know, I'd had a couple of amateur fights, put a couple of pro fights, put an amateur fight, you know, and kind of get back and forth.
But that's an awesome story, though. Holy shit.
So me and my buddy, I fought Friday night, went out and got drunk at the bar, and my buddies loaded up the next morning, drove up, fucking weighed in the same day, fucking fought that night, pressed my chest, and went home.
Listen, man, I'm telling you, this is your time, bro. You're getting better and better. I watched your last two fights against those Asian dudes. You were picking them apart. All your fights. You've never looked bad in a fight. Maybe against Marcus Levesque you did 30 years ago, but this is your time, man. Johnny Case. I'm on the Johnny Case hype train. Can I get a Johnny Case t-shirt or something?
I got you one, my man. I got a brand new one coming out after. It's all fucking flamboyant over the top, so I think you'd really appreciate it.
I love it. I can't wait. Well, good luck. I'm going to be I'll probably be in Vegas pretty soon. I'll definitely be in Vegas in November and also in December, so hopefully I'll see you then.
Absolutely. It'd be great to see you again, brother. I appreciate the interview, too, man. You're the fucking shit.
Always, man. Always. All right, take care, brother.
You too, Adam. Later.
Well, thank you. That was Johnny Case. Good luck to him and Ryzen. The dude's a badass. Thank you guys for endorsing me and for supporting me. Hope you guys come see a show. Go to adamhunter.com to see all my upcoming dates. You guys rule. Take care. Have a great life. Okay, trap, sons, and trap, sons, and trap, sons. Trap, sons, and trap, don't trap, don't trap, don't trap. Түүний сонс тө хөг чим дур булаа. Та дэс дуутан дур булаа бууруулаа.